All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship, and we're ready for verse 18 here in chapter 3. Next Sunday, a week from today, second session will be devoted to our annual business meeting. It's for, obviously, for those who are actual voting members of Maranatha Church, and that the second session will be devoted to that. And I have fulfilled the obligation to announce this at least two times as per our Constitution. Okay. All right, we have here instructions from the Apostle Paul in the Royal Chain of Command, which he is relaying to members of the Colossian church, the local church, and he is addressing a specific category within the church here in verse 18, 19, and following. In fact, these categories can be broken down into three in the relationship thing, because wives and husbands go together, children and fathers go together, and slaves and masters go together. So those are the three categories, and the relationship is discussed between those particular pairs within this particular discussion. Now, first of all, he takes up women here. There is a general Greek word for a woman, gune, real attractive noun. It's evocative, which is the case of address, the voice of address, evocative, and it's a plural, so there would be any number of women within the Colossian assembly who were actually married. Wives, be subject to. Be subject to is a particular verb that he chooses here, authority verb, hupotasso, which means basically to be under. Hupo part is under, tasso, indicating authority, the authority structure here within the divine institution of marriage. Be subject to your husbands. And we have here a protection for the ladies with regard to this subjugation to their husbands. We have it translated here in our version as is fitting in the Lord. I like it also as long as it is appropriate in the Lord. We have and by the way, the word for husbands is not a specific word like ours. Like we have man, we have male, we have husband. This is aner, which is male, corresponds to the gune, the aner in the Greek, which is also, obviously, depending on context, you're referring to, and obviously it's gender specific. It refers to males that are married, called by our word husbands. Is fitting or is appropriate is a imperfect active indicative, anakai. And then in the Lord, there really is no definite article, it's just in Lord, in kurios. Moving on to the next category. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Embitterment and love don't go hand in hand, obviously. So husbands, love, present active imperative, this is an order, love, agapao, your wives, and do not become embittered. We have the negative me, which would really be, you know, stop being embittered. Stop being embittered is a present passive imperative, pikrino, to be embittered against them. Next category, there's something to be said for the minor children who are living with parents under the divine institution within the local church. The apostle addresses them. Children, the word technon. Technon is a child of practically any age. It really is a noun There is a noun for a real infant type child, but that isn't it. This is for a more grown up child. And technon, someone in training, someone being trained for life. Because divine institution number three is designed, or should, when it functions properly, and it often doesn't, but when it functions properly, children are being trained and being prepared for adulthood. That there are things that need to be inculcated into them, because the fact they are children, they are immature, inexperienced, and all those things that are normal for someone who comes into the world with of any species, they have to grow up, not just physically, but they have to have an adult mentality. And I know it's a process. So technon is child, minor child, be obedient. Different verb. Present active imperative, hoop akuo. Akuo means to listen. Hoopo means under. To listen under. It's another word. It's translated, it could be translated, be responsive, be obedient, be subject to your parents. Well, there's two of them, normally, ideally. It's a definite article with a noun, dative, masculine, plural, gonus. That's the Hebrew, Greek word for a parent under divine institution number three. And they are told to do this in all things. In all things is according to kata, all, pas, and then we have the pronoun hutas in the plural, or new single, in all things, back off. And for this, gar, with this, this operation, and this is for the children to understand, because it's normal. The normal thing for children with sin natures is they want to rebel against a parental authority, naturally. We've all been there. We know that. So what to encourage these minor children who are being trained onward up the ladder to assume independent adult existence, for this is pleasing. Children are not here discounted as having no relationship with the Lord, that they're just under the authority of their parents. Not true. For this is you, aristos, well-pleasing. The you is the good or well-pleasing, is present active indicative. To, that's the dative of kurios, to the Lord. So you know when you are operating under the authority of your parents, responding to their wishes with regard to matters, you can be reassured of something, that you're in a state where you're actually pleasing God. It's not a dead end. You are pleasing God. And anyone who pleases God, there are benefits. Positive benefits flow to, in this case, a minor child under the authority of two parents. Now, because fathers were in the time of Paul and the legal and ultimate authority over their household, however small or extended it may be, fathers who fall into the category of having dependent children living with them, they are told something. This, by the way, when we get into this, we will find out that in the world of Paul and in the time of Paul, they had household codes, and philosophers and moral people described what was appropriate. And it isn't all bad. It's just that it doesn't go far enough to satisfy the Christian situation. It kind of cuts off because there's the God factor isn't there. It's just do this. And it was good in that regard, but it didn't have this. And you would never find in the code, responsibility of fathers towards their children. It's just, you're a kid, shut up and pay attention. And away we go. And I'm going to prepare you for life. Like me or don't like me. It's not really an issue. I know what's best for you. Because I'm an adult. And I want to do everything I can so you turn out a certain way. That doesn't mean you don't love them. It's just that this was kind of the code that they had. Their fathers did it to them. They're doing it with their kids. Fathers. And we have pater, the usual word for father, in the vocative, voice of address. Do not exasperate your children. Do not exasperate. Negative me again, present active imperative, erethizo. This means to stir up somebody. Or extended meanings like make resentful. Lose heart is a possible one. So they will not lose heart. I didn't get to that yet. Do not exasperate. That they do not, in order that, hina, indicating result, negative result, may, that they do not become discouraged, demoralized. The verb is athumeo, to become discouraged, be beaten down. I will get into that. There are examples, I'll give you examples of things that a father can do to discourage and exasperate the child. I'll just name in one. Unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. Ridicule for failure. There's a place to correct people and point out things. There's a way to go about it, and there's a way not to go about it. So, fathers in the Colossian church who have children are told not to exasperate, discourage, browbeat them with stuff. Think and operate, even if they're not operating up to your standard, think about the best way to go about this. Because this can screw up their psyche. And if it's done consistently and to an extreme, it will backfire. It's not good. And then we come to what we don't have today. So the best we can do today is talk about your relationship to your boss. Your boss may be a member of Maranatha Church and you're working for that person. Maybe not. Maybe your boss is a believer but not on doctrine, or an unbeliever. So, in the Colossian assembly were people who were slaves. Just like we had in our country. Slaves. People that were treated like, a piece of property. Slavery existed in the ancient world and existed from time to time in various civilizations. So, slaves are addressed. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. There's that little touch there, on earth. It's kind of like in the temporal realm. Slaves as doulos. We have the same verb for authority that we had with children, hupakuo. And of course, it has that nuance. Listen to, and therefore the extended. Are you listening to me? Well, it means use it a lot of times. To obey. To act on what you're being told to do. In all things, obey those. And we have kata pas again, as we did above with the children. In all things, according to masters on earth. I don't know why I put all those zeros in there. Oh, well. Probably the phone rang and I'm holding the zero down. I don't know. It's really according to the flesh. on earth your masters. The word earth, G-E-K, isn't here. But they, those who are your masters, according to the flesh. Masters is the verb, is the noun, that we also have for the Lord, kurios, authority, masters, plural. Now, slaves, they're humans, right? While people might look at them as subhuman, they are human beings, clearly. They have their own STA vices to, in their mind, survive, get on. They had their own things to do. And so slaves, even though they're slaves and don't have this freedom that other people have, they do things within that context to have an advantage. And there's things, and the one thing that they did was they tried to, pardon the expression, suck up to people, their masters. They did things for show when they were around their master. We've all seen people like that. They get around a certain person, they're there to try to impress them with how diligent all the other stuff they are. Not with external service. Not with external service. Negative may, and we have a compound here from the word for eye, physical eye, ophthalmos, and then the last part of it is slave or service. So, not with eye service is the literal. Not with eye service. External service is fine. Service merely to impress others. Also occurs in Ephesians 6:6. Same context. But, I didn't give it all. As those, one who pleases others. Anthroparískos. Anthro is man. Parískos is please. Men pleasers. Well, when they're around the boss, boy, they just, it's so obvious. You know, it's so obvious they're doing this to impress the boss. You know, by words and certain actions. One who acts to please others, also at Ephesians 6:6. But here's the flip, the contrast. But with sincerity of heart, someone who is involved in external service is not sincere. They're an actor. They're an actor putting on an act. There's not a genuine sincerity. So the word for sincerity, aplotes, but with sincerity, the word can also be diligence, but we'll take sincerity, with sincerity of heart, cardia, fearing the Lord. It doesn't say fearing your master. It says fearing the Lord. Hobo duomai. Now, there is a chapter break here, so I cannot go and talk about the requirements of masters, because that starts off one verse in the next chapter, the first verse. So we break with a chapter break. So there is this, we have slaves, but we left the masters. We'll leave that hanging for now. And when we pick up with chapter 4, we'll address them. 1. In these 5 verses, Paul speaks to the conduct befitting the royal family within the household. The household being divine institution number 3, and even the extended household, beyond just a married couple, children, because many of them, some of these people, they had slaves. You pick up a slave in the ancient world, and it was not that difficult. 1/4 of the Roman Empire basically was slaves. These were people who were captives of war as a result of the Roman conquests. And they were drug into that part of the world. And they could have been from any country. And they were. And they start off life as slaves. Now, slaves could be emancipated by a master who did the legwork and did it all. He could set them free. Paul says in Corinthians, if you're a slave, whatever you were called, whatever situation you were called to the plan of God in, you stay in that niche. If you get an opportunity, a legitimate one, for your freedom, take it. And lo and behold, the next book in the Bible, Philemon, is all about a master-slave relationship, and Paul is the go-between trying to get things lined out for him. The slave Onesimus, Philemon, Paul, this whole story here in one little chapter of one little book in your Bible is about a master-slave relationship and Paul seeking to set things straight with regard to this slave who, a Christian, a runaway slave. Obviously, some slaves would try to make a break for it and just run away. As you would expect, all the various things go on. So, three pairs of relationships are covered in the household code. Husband and wife, first. Fathers and children. Masters and slaves. Or parents and children, either way. Similar codes exist in the New Testament in Ephesians 5. There's an extended passage there, longer than this one. Ephesians 5, 22 through 6, 9. That's the church over in the same area where there were all these categories. And these are addressed because, you know, we need practical things to know how to operate within the relationships we possess under God. God assigns this. I know a lot of people don't like the term authority. Without authority, we wouldn't have anything around here worthwhile. Not just here, but anywhere. You don't have authority, and people aren't invested with authority, you can't have any kind of success and prosperity. It's chaos. The old, who's in charge around here? You've been maybe in a place where you realize it was quite dysfunctional. Who's the supervisor? Who's the manager? What's he doing? Well, if he's dysfunctional, then everyone else is going to be dysfunctional. And the service sucks and everything else. Because there's this code. And the code is a code of authority. We all live under authority. First and foremost, we're all under God's authority. We could kick up our heels against it. But it isn't going to change the fact that God is sovereign over the human race. He's the ultimate authority. And as I've taught you, there are two lines or chains of command. You hear people say, we got to go through the chain of command. Do this properly. Now, sometimes people jump the chain of command. Sometimes there's exceptional situations. But basically, we follow the chain of command. For the human race, it's God. It's world leaders over nations and all their subcategories. There's the divine institution of the family, with the head being the head of the household, the male. Then the mother, and then kiddos. That's simple. And within any organization, that's worth anything, there's a chain of command. Who's the boss? I'm in charge of this area. I may be responsible to those above me, but I'm responsible in this area. This is the area I cover. In this local church, I'm the authority spiritually over the members. Not some board or anything else like that. I have direct authority from God. The same kind of authority, without the nasty side of it, that a dictator has. A monarch, if you prefer that term. An absolute monarch. And God has established absolute monarchs. He holds all who exercise authority accountable. Yes, authority is abused all over the place. But so are a lot of things that are legitimate. But they're legitimate, abuses notwithstanding. We should have enough sophistication to understand that. And when you try to mess with this and change it all up, it doesn't work. In Plato's Republic, he wanted everybody to be under the authority of the government. Now, the family was a unit of the government, and blah, 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 like in some other isms. And we'll tell you how many kids you can have. We'll tell you where they can go to school. They want to take away all that kind of freedom. That is, see, the government steps over its bounds of authority when it does this. It's out of line. Government does this in many, many, many different ways. Government trying to usurp legitimate authority. They want to dictate to us on a level where they do not have the authority. They've stepped over their bounds. They want to tell us where we can travel to, where we can't. More and more it becomes this kind of a rigid, like I call it, police state type thing. Where people are all subservient and they're all in line and they're treated like criminals. Because there's some bad people out there. Well, never let a good crisis go to waste. That is as cynical as it gets. That comes out of the mouth of the current mayor of Chicago. We never let a good crisis go to waste. Wonderful. You want him ruling over you? Then vote for the fool. See, we want freedom. Freedom made us great as a civilization in part. Giving people freedom and individualism. That's a no-no today, individualism. As I said in the previous class, the whole idea is common core. Get everybody to think alike. Get everybody afraid to step out and say, you know, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on. How dare you say that? How dare you point out the obvious? Because we're all, oh, there's the emperor. Yeah, yeah, but he's naked. Doesn't seem appropriate. So the one kid that stands out and says something properly and objects, they don't want that anymore. They want a communist, socialistic groupthink. When the powers that be say something, we all need to do that. Let's just go with it. Who wants to be ridiculed? Who wants to be the oddball out? Who wants to stand up to the stupid group when it's stupid? Who does? That's the problem. That's one of the problems in our culture. That's what education, in many cases, has devolved in. If you don't tout the party line in this institution and you dare object to this study, this science, and you dare to say anything, you're not going anywhere. And you're not going to teach in this academic institution. Academic freedom is just a nice word in so many areas. All right. Moving on. Wives translates a vocative plural noun with a definite article. The noun can be translated either the wives or women, but we know how it should be translated here. Submit is a middle present imperative, hupotasso, signifying that wives should voluntarily submit themselves to their husbands. Now what that means is this. Your free will is involved, obviously. And you make a decision to submit to the head of the household as you would submit to a cosmic boss and so forth. Submit, I'll give you that. 7. In the New Testament and in Greek literature, the verb submit, or be subordinate, be subject to, obey, is used otherwise to denote subordination to an authority figure, including younger men to older men, 1 Peter 5:5. Deference to them because of their age, within the royal family, within believers. One's parents, Jesus submitted. Under this verb is used for Jesus' submission. And look who he was. He stood head and shoulders over his parents when he was, pick an age. But here he was 12. He went up to live with his parents in Nazareth. And Jesus submitted himself to the authority of Joseph and Mary during the years of his being raised to manhood. And then when Joseph died, his legal father, he became the head of the household. His authority then was over Mary. and all the brats. Governing authorities. It's used in connection with governing authorities. Romans 13, 1 and 5. There again, an area where believers may at times struggle with things. Because there are laws that are not good. But what you have to ask yourself is by obeying this law, and people might draw different conclusions on different things, but by obeying this law, am I violating the law of God? That's what you have to ask yourself. Pray about it and move on. Some things are straightforward. Tax time's coming up. No one likes it. It's onerous. What civilization puts a code like that on people's shoulders? We're going to simplify the code. You never have. You just move all the pieces around. So we have to hire some guru to go in there and figure out what it's saying, and then the other guru doesn't agree with it. And we got this whole mess called our tax code. We're an enlightened civilization. We can't do any better than that. We got to keep people under all this voodoo and everything that's in there. It's full of contradictions and mess and loopholes. Well, I didn't know that was a loophole. I'd have took it. Of course you didn't. It shouldn't be that way. God wouldn't sponsor anything like that. He will tax people, but he wouldn't do it that way. We so pride ourselves, we're so enlightened. Governing authorities. And he talks about taxes and talks about obeying those that are over you. And yes, some of it's unfair. And there's a lot of corruption in government. We all well know that. And all the rest of it. Leaders in the local church. We try to do it with a soft hand, not a soft touch. But you're under the authority of the Board of Deacons. That's an authority figure established by God. The fact that you elected them, chose them, doesn't change anything. They were put in that position to serve you, but they have to have some authority. The law, Romans 8, 7, Christ, Ephesians 5, 24, and God, Hebrews 12, 9, James 4, 7. This in no way diminishes the dignity and standing of women within the body of Christ, as they enjoy the same benefits of men. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, meaning that you share equally in this elevated state of being in Christ, royal family, royal priesthood, all the rest of it, same spiritual privileges, same spiritual benefits, all of it. You can't name one thing, basically, that you can't inherit SG3. All these things are for you as a woman. And in some societies, women are treated very badly. Very badly. In certain cultures. That's the STA, false religion, treating them like bad, worse than some animal. They have no say-so. And then you have the opposite, extremism, which we call feminism, in its worst manifestations in our civilization. These are not happy people, feminists. They are completely maladjusted. They are miserable. But they allowed themselves to be indoctrinated with this. You know, yes, I believe women ought to have rights, but I also believe that there is the principle of the authority of the male and the aspiring to, it's not for everyone, aspiring to be married, have children, and live a normal life. So these women want to go out and find themselves, take their best years physically, and waste them on pursuing a career, and then they wind up in their late 30s, and they don't have anything. They're not as attractive as they once were either, try as they may. And all that passed under the bridge, because they're gonna be liberated. They weren't liberated, they were enslaved. They were conned. Conned by the God of this world and by the systems that are put out. So No, there isn't anything here demeaning in any way. You're not demeaning yourself by responding to your husband's authority in matters and deferring to his authority. A good husband will be sensitive and not unreasonable. But even for those who are married to unreasonable and negative husbands, they're still to follow this code before God. There's a protection within it, if you're listening, and that you are not to submit to that authority if it involves you in violation of the will of God. Now, you can play games with this, but if it doesn't violate the will of God, and Christ himself is subordinate to the Father. It's just a fact. It's called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is subordinate to the Father. He is his agent. He's going to bring in this kingdom. And when he gets it to a certain place, he's going to turn it over to his Father. There'd probably be a big ceremony. He did his job. How does one member of the Godhead submit to the authority of another? The only way I can express it is, they have different roles to play within while possessing the same attributes. It's all as far as I can go with it. So Christ himself is subordinate to the Father, which for Paul is the basis for submission of wives to their husbands. Chain of command. The head of every man is Christ. Who's the head of the fathers or wives? Christ is your boss in heaven. He's your authority. He's your master in heaven. And the head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Read the Father. All his life he submitted to the authority of his father, submitted to the authority of his parents while he was on earth. And now he is put in this position of having authority over all things. But he's still subject to the authority of his father. It may not seem like much, but it is the principle. It's the principle. Obviously, he functions accordingly. So the challenge is, if you are married, you got 50% of the authority, you make half the decisions, and I'll make the other half. Now, I can defer authority to you. I can defer authority to someone else. I can say, I gave my wife authority to do that. And seriously, in the Old Testament, if a wife agrees to something, something of some kind of significance, but if she agrees to something and her husband was not on board with it, he can retract it. It's in the Old Testament. In other words, he can shut it down. So you learn, as a Christian, you learn to acclimate to your situation. If you don't like authority, then you shouldn't be getting married. If it's all just about lovey-dovey and all this good stuff, well, guess what? Time advances. Things develop. And both parties are challenged in this regard. It isn't that wives shouldn't love their husbands. They should. Everybody, in Christian love, everybody should, love the brethren. It includes flowing both ways. But here, that is the kiss of death for a lot of women. They're not going to acclimate to authority of a male. That's what's going to do them in. It takes a certain type of woman who is completely dedicated to God. Remember, even when it isn't pleasant, you're doing this as unto the Lord. Might as well get in fellowship. And if he's being unfair, overboard, and this is true as any authority, if the authority over you isn't treating you absolutely like they should, that doesn't mean you can start a revolution. Okay? You can. You can, but you shouldn't. You just move forward with it. Put it with God. And if the authority is not being what it ought to be, God can crack the authority and knock it down to a notch or two. And maybe get its attention. Oh, I associate that with or I just verbally abused my spouse, or I did this and I was just and I did all this, and you know, you're under my authority, and this is what I expect, and you go off on all this and you do this. When a brick falls on your head, maybe you'll get your attention. When you're being a bully, you don't like people that are bullies, do you? You wouldn't like a bully pulpit up here, would you? Just ramrod over people? I seek to avoid that. I've seen it. I've seen it in action. I didn't like it. It didn't set well with me. But it was an object lesson. I'm not going to be perfect in the exercise of my authority. If you have any well, you're not perfect. Well, why don't we just dissolve the marriage and go our separate ways? Because nobody's perfect but God. That's childish. What will you do when your kids say that? I said, I'll backhand him halfway across the room. See? So, no. Being an authority over someone does not require perfection on the part of the individual, only in the case of God and Christ. They're perfect. So, we should strive to exercise our authority in an appropriate way. There are men who are absolutely afraid to cross their wives. All hell will break loose if they cross their wives. They're walking on eggshells all the time. They are miserable males. They are miserable. And by the way, so are the women. Children need someone to deal with their STAs. Women need the balance of the male with his authority, his rank. Now you get familiar with him and all of his habits and all this stuff. Yeah. And you can get in this mode. But you're not serving the Lord. Again, a way to break from these things is, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to get in fellowship. And maybe I won't look at him as bad as I've been looking at him, because I'm under my STA. I'm remembering everything. Well, that's no way to live. God doesn't even do that with us. And never miss an opportunity to throw it up. See? That kind of thing. Both parties can do that. Don't go there. Well, you remember. Trying not to. I'm trying to move on spiritually. But you are vexing my soul with the past. I don't want to hear about the past. Jesus forgave my past. Here we are today. That's God's grace. That's where we're at. We'll stop here. Anyway, we'll stop here and I'll see you next time. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us, and may this encourage us to apply. In Christ's name.